Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
This is what Scraby believed. He believed the bizarre story of a rat and a raccoon.
And Chris Ello.
In a windup, you bring your arms up, so your arms, my eyes would be looking at the target, but my arms would go.
He just yanked.
I just disconnected my microphone. Sorry about that.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, what's up, San Diego? Welcome to it on a Friday afternoon, a Friar Friday. Happy you've joined us, Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. hanging out for the next hour, just ahead of a crucial Padre baseball game tonight in St. Louis against the Cardinals. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park getting set to call tonight's game with Jesse Agler. I'm along with Matt Scraby in our Odyssey Palace studios. And Tony, I want to not only welcome you to the show, welcome Scraby to the show, welcome our listeners to the show, but I would like to welcome the San Diego Padres back to the National League wild card race for 2021. It's amazing what a couple of victories can do for the enthusiasm around town and everything with this ball club. I mean, all of a sudden, bringing a pretty good frame of mind, hopefully, into St. Louis for this weekend series.
Well, certainly a better frame of mind. Just one quick note, Jesse Agler will actually be on the TV side.
Uh-huh.
Bob Scanlon and I will be
working
together today. But yes, it is amazing how really one at bat can change the course of a couple of games, right? You go back to the game, Profar's first game leading off on Wednesday, doubles. And since that point, this Padre offense has looked like the Padre offense we've been waiting on. Now, I thought it was important for them to do it in back-to-back days, right? Because we've seen them have a good day and then have a bad one. This one, they're able to stack two really good offensive days back-to-back. And it builds some confidence going into, which at this point is the biggest series of the year, right? Now, I say at this point because next series will be the biggest series of the year. The year series after will be the biggest series of the year. So, Padres certainly did what they needed to do after getting really thumped the first two nights and showing some life in the second, in this games three and four against a very, very good Giants ball club that, by the way, did not take their foot off the gas. They kept trying to score and kept trying to come back. They kept trying to make things interesting. But to the Padres' credit, they were able to keep adding runs, and that was important.
Yeah, and offensively, we've talked about it with the pitching staff hurting the way it is and bullpen days and reclamation projects starting, including Vince Velasquez tonight and Jake Arrieta again on Sunday. It really is, I think, and you and I both think, that it's going to be up to this Padre offense to kind of carry the day the final 2 weeks of this season. Padres will face the Cardinals, of course, this weekend. They begin play a half game behind St. Louis for the National League wild card. So a win today would not only put them back in the wild card lead, it would also be their first three-game winning streak in 5 weeks. That's the last time they won three in a row. So that's the next challenge ahead for these guys. But, you know, Tony, baseball's amazing. I don't know if we could have gotten much lower, you know, in the last 29 days prior to the, you know, two games yesterday and the day before. I mean, it's about as low as I can remember feeling. I know Nick Canepa came on after you left on Wednesday. He said this is as bad a stretch of baseball he's ever seen from a good team. And, you know, it's hard to argue with him based on everything they've accomplished so far this season to have a 8-21 stretch and hit 199 and everything that went along with that. But somehow, some way, baseball, you know, allows you to keep on plugging. You got another game the next day, and all of a sudden the Padres get 30 hits in two games, which is the most they've had in any two-game span since the first two games after the All-Star break in Washington when they scored 34 runs in those two games against the Nationals. So you just don't know. And this is why we've said so many hundreds of times, if they can get into this one-game playoff, they can certainly win it. And if they get into the one-game playoff and do win it, it's wide open for everybody because that's just the way baseball plays.
I mean, listen, it's not fun talk radio to keep hearing the same thing over and over again, but that is the breaks in baseball. You can be so bad that you don't think you'll ever win a game again. You could be so bad that you'd never think you'll get a hit for the rest of the season, and in one at bat, one pitch, all of that could change. And just like that, it's like a light switch has come on. And we're seeing the Padres offense that we saw early on this season, which is they just grind you down to death. I mean, that's basically, just think about how they got to Gausman yesterday. They didn't thrash Gausman, but they made it when the mistakes he made, and to, in my opinion, it was because of the way they conducted those at bats. The mistakes he made, they made him pay for them, and that is really the difference between the last two games and the last month of games. Padres tried to do the same thing. They just couldn't pull it off. They would foul pitches off that they should pummel, right? They couldn't put, they didn't, instead of fouling off the good pitcher's pitch, they put it in play for weak contact, and it was an out. That changed yesterday. They saw a team that really executed offensively as good as we've seen them all season long, and that's why maybe with the exception of that stretch they had there right after the break where they put up 20 runs against the Nationals in one night. It's the best we've seen them in the last two games. Hopefully the two games that they put together in San Francisco against a good ball club can carry over into the St. Louis series because it needs to.
Yes, it does. Vince Velasquez is a guy with a 3-6 record, an ERA in the high fives, pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies. That's a tough pitcher's ballpark. He has pitched some good baseball in his career, but it really doesn't matter what Vince Velasquez's, you know, statistics are, what he's done in the past with the Phillies. What matters is what he does here tonight in St. Louis. He may only have to pitch one good game for the Padres, maybe two.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're the Padres, a Padre fan, you hope tonight's one of those nights. Tomorrow, Yu Darvish against Adam Wainwright, who's just been absolutely ridiculous this year. 40 years old, and, you know, he's supposed to retire prior to the start of the season. I think I wish he had the way he's pitching right now. But he's the one guy that you have to seemingly worry about in this series because Sunday, Jake Arrieta matches up against a veteran left-hander, Jay Happ, who's got an ERA of about 6. So it amazes me, you know, that here we are with these two teams fighting for a playoff spot, and some of the starting pitchers are, you know, Miles Michaelis, who hasn't won a game yet this year. Of course, he was hurt. Vince Velasquez, Jake Arrieta, Jay Happ. That doesn't sound like the rotations of playoff teams, but that's crazy baseball for you, and we'll see who's able to make the adjustments. I got to give a tip of the cap to Jace Tingler. He hasn't gotten too many in the last 5 weeks, that's for sure. But you and I talked about this the other day, that things have gotten so desperate, maybe it's time to just put the names in a hat and pick the lineup up that way. I don't think he did that, but putting Adam Frazier in the number 4 spot yesterday with 4 home runs, that is certainly switching things around. And Jerks and Profar has provided a lift in the leadoff spot. You know, I mean, he's done some weird things with the lineup here the last couple of days, and it's finally paid off. So, you know, tip of the cap to Jace Tingler. I mean, I've been critical of him everybody's been critical of him. And, you know, to me, he's kept on trying to find ways for this team to be successful. And that is basically all I can ask him to do. You know, he can't go out there and hit for him. So
you know what's crazy, Chris, is that have you even heard anybody mention that Adam Frazier was hitting in the four hole? Like, has it even been a stink at all? I mean, I haven't seen much of conversation about it at all.
Right.
And I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
Because he has some success at the four spot, right?
That's right.
I mean, that's virtually what we asked for, right? It was obviously he didn't put it in a hat. There was some type of direction that they were searching for, but he did change it up. He did just keep searching. And even though Adam Frazier doesn't, in nobody's mind, is the prototypical cleanup hitter, it worked. And he came through in some big spots time and time again. So what do you see? He's right back into that four spot tonight as they go in against the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Just keep on trying until something works. And fortunately, something has worked. Let's see if they can keep it going tonight. Game one of a three-game series. Just to catch you up on what everybody else is doing, of course, Padres are a half game ahead of the Cardinals. They're just one game ahead of the Reds. The Reds are facing Walker Buehler and the Dodgers tonight in Cincinnati. The Reds have been struggling not nearly as badly as the Padres, but they've been struggling just the same. The only game they've won recently was a 1-0 win over Pittsburgh yesterday. They scratched out a run on a sacrifice fly, I think it was. So Reds have been struggling, especially offensively. They're starting to feel the heat of this race. The Phillies,
it's hard to know what to make of them, right?
It is. They're in the fourth spot. They're 2.5 games back. But they got a win yesterday that could help carry them a little bit. We'll see. I mean, again, it's baseball. It's a new day today. But they were down 7-0 yesterday to the Cubs, and they end up winning 17-8.
It's funny you bring this up because the game got done here yesterday, and one of my rare times I got on Twitter – I saw a tweet that John Kruk had. He was basically just miserable about the bullpen game that was a 7-0 game.
I saw this too. I thought that was so funny.
And so this is like him going back and forth with some fans, and it was like very cordial, just having a conversation as they were getting their butt kicks. And I remember at one point responding, "Hey man, I feel you. Up until these last days, up until these last 2 days, Padres has been going through the same thing, so I feel your pain." And then I got home and I was like, wait a minute, they got the lead. It was like 8-7 at that time. They had come back.
Yeah.
And they go on to win. Again, baseball in a nutshell right there. Guy goes from 7-0, think you have no chance, to you blowing the other team out.
Right. And the Phillies, as a result, got to feel pretty good as they head into New York this weekend to take on the Mets. And not only that, the Phillies have Zach Wheeler on the mound tonight, who's a Cy Young Award candidate. Taijuan Walker is going to pitch for New York. So certainly three crucial games that we'll all be keeping our eyes on tonight. The Padres in St. Louis, the Phillies in New York, and the Reds home to the Dodgers. But the best news, I guess, about that, for at least the moment, is that the Padres kind of control their own situation. If they take two out of three from the Cardinals this weekend, they're going to come back home, you know, most likely ahead in that wild card race. And the way this road trip started, to come home still in possession of the wild card next week would be rather remarkable. I mean,
wow.
You know,
tell me about it.
You know, because I it's only two wins, but like you said, Tony, it didn't seem like they were ever going to score a run again, let alone win games. So
100% it didn't.
Yeah.
And so you go into this series a half game behind the Cardinals, and you're right. You get two victories, you go home ahead in this bad boy. So and that would be remarkable considering how this road trip started. So Padres got their work cut out for them. There's no doubt about it. The offense, they really need it to continue to do what it's done, especially in these next few starts with Velasquez going and Arrieta going. Offense has got to come through for those guys, and hopefully they give the Padres some good innings. Certainly, they're capable of doing so.
Yeah, we don't even need a repeat of what we saw in May when the Padres actually swept the Cardinals in San Diego.
Oh, by the way, just a quick nugget, right?
Yeah.
Should this end in a game situation where there's 163?
Right.
This series right here is meaningful, right? Because should the Padres tie with the Cardinals at this point, that one game 163 would be here. However, if for some reason, and we all hope this would be a worst case scenario. They sweep the Padres in the series. They would end up obviously 3-3. Then it would go to divisional record.
Oh.
That would go in favor of the Cardinals.
In terms of who gets to host the 163.
Yes, sir. And so that would then be the Padres having to play on October 4th in St. Louis. If they were to win that game, they would fly to either San Francisco or L.A., and they would play that one game playoff in either of those buildings. So they can control a lot with a good series win here.
With all due respect, and I don't want the Padres ever to be involved in something like this, but wouldn't it be fun if all four teams end up with the same record and then baseball has to figure out how to figure it out?
It would be absolute chaos.
Oh, my
chaos.
Goodness, that would be crazy. And in this season, maybe that's exactly what will happen. All right, we are underway. Joe Musgrove is going to be on the program in about 15 minutes. No, Joe, having a big year. And if you wondered, like me, whether or not he's actually had to buy dinner or a beer since he threw that no-hitter, he will answer that question and some other fun stuff with the Padres right-hander coming up on our Friar Friday interview. Stick around for that when we come back. It was Thursday Night Football. It was a great game that came down to a terrible play, and it cost the New York Giants against the Washington football team. We'll kick that around, get you ready for week two of the NFL. More on the Padres as well after we check traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Here in San Diego.
Friar Friday it is. Crisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. He and Bob Scanlon will have the call of tonight's crucial game between the Padres and the St. Louis Cardinals. Our pregame show gets underway at 4:15. Right after we get done here this afternoon, Tony will rejoin us in a few minutes for our visit with Joe Musgrove. But right now, getting you set for Padres baseball. I was looking at one thing, Scraby, very quickly before we get to the NFL game last night.
What's that?
Since the middle of August, when the Padres have gone 10-21,
okay,
which includes their two victories here this week, I was looking at the other teams in this wild card race. You know the Reds since then? They're 15-18.
Yeah, they haven't been very good.
They haven't really taken advantage of it. The Phillies are 15-17 since then.
Yeah, they haven't been very good either.
So they haven't done much. The only team that's really made a charge of the group of four here in this wild card run is St. Louis. They're 21-13. So we'll see how it all turns out. Padres still got this series in San Francisco, Atlanta, and then they go on the road for the Dodgers and San Francisco. Cardinals still got this series, and then two series each against Milwaukee and the Cubs. I will say this. I know it doesn't sound good that the Cardinals are playing the Cubs, but that's a big rivalry.
Yeah, they hate each other.
And the Cubs would love nothing more than to knock the Cardinals out of the playoffs. So you know that the Cubs will be playing hard. Milwaukee, of course, has one of the best teams in the National League. So Padres have a tough schedule, but I think the Cardinals have a tough schedule. Although on paper it doesn't look quite as hard as what the Padres are going to have to, the gauntlet that the Padres are going to have to get past to get to the postseason. But crucial games tonight, not only Padres and Cardinals, but Reds hosting the Dodgers, Phillies in New York against the Mets. And this is what baseball, you know, is all about. It would be great to have that 6.5 game wild card lead if you were the Padres like they had a while ago, but they don't have it, and the fact of the matter is you got four teams busting it, all separated by 2.5 games. Every game means something to all teams involved. Scoreboard watching, rallies in the ninth inning, extra inning walk-offs. I mean, everything matters now for the next 15 games, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully it'll turn out the Padres' way. A lot of fun last night, Thursday night football game to kick off week two of the NFL. Fun if you're the Washington football team, I guess.
It was a good game to watch, too.
Sure was. They win at 30-29. You know, the guy in the Giants who jumps off sides. I mean, are you kidding me? I think it was Dexter Lawrence. I mean, he's lined up right over the ball. The ball is right in front of him. And it's a game-winning field goal attempt, and Hopkins misses the field goal, and the Giants think they've won. And there's a flag on the play because Dexter couldn't keep his big body from going in motion and jumping across. Hopkins gets a second opportunity, kicks it through. Washington wins the game. Taylor Heineke to me, ought to just keep that job in Washington.
I think so, too.
I don't see any reason to rush Ryan Fitzpatrick back in there.
No way.
Fitzpatrick's perfect backup, but Heinicke's proven he can play. He proved it in the playoffs against Tampa Bay. Proved it last night. Terry McLaurin has become one of the top receivers in the league. Man, big night, 11 for 107. And as far as Daniel Jones is concerned, statistically, he has a nice game, right? 249 yards, touchdown, 95 yards rushing and a touchdown. So statistically, that's a great game. But in my mind, it's still a disappointment. And the reason is because the one play of the night that he just had to make, he didn't make it. Slayton broke wide open on that post. Easy 50-yard touchdown, right? Just lob it in there. And he overthrows him by
I cannot put that on Daniel Jones.
Ball should have dropped right in his breadbasket.
Oh, that ball was in his breadbasket.
No, he had to reach for it, and it went off his fingertips.
You're a professional wide receiver, Chris. I can't believe it would have been a
nice. I'm saying it would have been a nice catch. Well, then you stick out. You can have Daniel Jones. I'm telling you, he missed the throw.
I don't want Daniel Jones, but I'm not going to throw that on him.
I am. You got to put that right in the midsection. He had to reach for it. It would have been a really, really nice catch, and it didn't need to be thrown there. Should have been right there.
I'm gonna watch this play again because
watch it again. I thought he had to reach for it, and it went off his fingertips, and it would have been a great catch, but he couldn't make it. My thing was he shouldn't have had to make it. Should have just dropped right into him. I mean, he was 20 yards in the clear behind the defenders.
Okay, I'm watching the play again. He throws it down the field, and Darius Slayton. All right, I mean, it may have been a half-yard overthrow.
Yep, that's too much.
But that's an NFL wide receiver that should easily catch that.
I'm not disagreeing with you. What I am saying is that was the play of the game, and it wasn't made. So you want to blame it on Darius Slayton for not making a great catch? Or you want to blame it on the quarterback who shouldn't have put him in a position to have to make a great catch? All they do is lob it right in there. There was no one near him. All right,
One thing I can say about the Giants is I cannot stand the New York Giants because obviously they're NFC foes. But Joe Judge is so annoying to me on the sidelines.
He's wound so tight.
Oh my God.
And his team is wound so tight. I think these guys are scared to make a mistake, and that's why they make mistakes. I mean, look, the Giants should have won this football game.
Yes.
Five field goals was great for your fantasy team, Scraby.
Oh, it was great for mine, yeah.
But that's a losing performance for an NFL team in this day and age. You can't get down there that many times and kick field goals.
You've got
to get some touchdowns.
They intercepted the football team on, like, their own 20-yard line.
Yeah, all they do is punch it in, game's over.
Yeah, they could score a touchdown, they win the game, yeah. They can't.
There was two or three times they could have won that game that they didn't. The final time they could have won that game is when the big fella jumped offside. So week two's off to a fun start, fun game to watch. Washington wins it, NFL week two. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the Daily Gambit, but we got to step aside because it's Friar Friday, and our interview with Joe Musgrove is coming up next on Gwynn and Chris. Big old ball game coming up tonight. You might have read somewhere or heard somewhere. Padres and Cardinals, kind of ironic, right? These two teams are battling for the wild card. Same two teams that battled in the first round of
the schedule is incredible.
Same two teams that battled in the first round of the playoff a year ago. I'm sure the Cardinals would love a little revenge. Padres swept them earlier this season in San Diego. That was a long, long time ago. I think that was back in mid-May.
The big controversy was that not dirty slide that everybody said that Manny had against Tommy Edman. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Even Tommy Edman didn't think it was a dirty slide.
He was like,
slide.
It's fine. Everybody's like, it was the dirtiest slide I've ever seen.
Yeah, it wasn't. I was at that game, actually. I think was that the Sunday night game? I believe it was.
It was, yeah.
I was at that one game where Lori and I went and enjoyed it, but that was a long, long time ago. It hardly seems like this season, but same two teams who battled in the first round of the playoff a year ago, now battling for a playoff spot this year. Vince Velasquez, who? Yeah, he's starting for the Padres. Former Philadelphia Philly, released by the Phillies, picked up by the Padres to make an emergency start tonight. That is irony right there. I mean, that you've got somebody who wasn't even on your team all season pitching the biggest game of your season. And Miles Michaelis, former Padre, for just a little while, then went over to the Japanese League, if I'm not mistaken, or the Korean League, one of the two. I think the Japanese League for a couple of years. Has pitched well for the Cardinals, hurt most of this season, hasn't won a game yet this year. He's pitching the most important game of the year for St. Louis. I mean, it's strange, strange days indeed. But we'll have the pregame show coming up at 4:15, first pitch at 5:15, this hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., 97.3 The Fan right here. You can listen to the Smart Investing Show. Brent Wilsey, the host of the show, has over 40 years' experience in finance. Recently was picked as one of California's top investment advisors for 2020 by Forbes magazine. Smart Investing, it takes place right here Saturdays, 8 a.m., on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Joe Musgrove, our Friar Friday interview, Tony Gwynn Jr., myself, and No No Joe right after traffic.
Do you want to know what Padres players are ranking? We get you closer to the Padres than anyone else in town. It's time to go inside the clubhouse. It's Friar Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Indeed, it's in time for our Friar Friday interview, and this Friday, Padres, of course, today in St. Louis, getting set for a key series with the Cardinals. We're joined by Padre right-hander Joe Musgrove. And Joe, first of all, let me be one of the first to welcome you and the Padres back to the National League wildcard race. It's amazing what a couple of victories can do for the enthusiasm and, I'm sure, the feeling of this team.
Absolutely, man. You know, that's it. Definitely, like I said, it's definitely not been a lack of effort or lack of focus and concentration. We just haven't been getting the results we want. There's definitely a few things that we could do to clean that up, but sometimes just stringing a couple wins together and a couple well-played games can really turn things around, like you said, not just for the team but for the morale and for the for the belief in one another.
Joe, talk about that a little bit, because you kind of had a front row seat to those last two games as you watched on. What goes through, just take us through, like, what the emotion is like in the beginning of that game. Let's say the first game you guys won, Profar doubles. You guys, is there like a sense of exhale after that? Because it certainly seemed like the more that game went on, it seemed like the more the confidence started to kind of creep up again for the offense.
Yeah, man. I mean, just like you said, it's exactly how I was talking, to Frazier and Haas and Manny and some of those guys. Like, the bat that Profar had to lead off the game on Wednesday that I started, that really set the whole tone for the game. He battled, he took a lot of good pitches, he fouled pitches off and ends up ripping a double down the line. We get on the scoreboard first, and I think that's the first lead we've had in I can't remember how long. but it's a lot different when you're playing with the lead and when you guys are controlling. And after Profar's at bat, it seemed like that at bat kind of gave everyone the edge. And like I talked about it after my last start, as a starting pitcher, when you go out there and you're at the first game of the series, or you're the starting pitcher, that first inning is so important to setting the tone and setting the pace, for the guys that are going to follow you. If I go six strong and I go scoreless and give up two hits, the guys that are coming in behind me have a good feeling, and just actually seeing that these guys are beatable and we're in control of that game. So for Profar to leave the game off like that, I felt like that set the tone for everybody. It seemed like everybody's game got sharper. We had, consistently good at-bats. We controlled the zone better than we have, in the past. We didn't miss the mistakes. It was just everything seemed to be rolling once Profar got that leadoff double.
Joe Musgrove is with us as the Padres get set to meet the Cardinals. I know you're not going to pitch this weekend, or at least you're not scheduled to. We never know. And, of course, you could see a pinch hitting appearance. I know you'd like to hear that, in a blowout win or something. They bring you in to knock in a couple more runs. But, Joe, being in St. Louis, it's a fun place to play. I think for everything I'm told, at least for visitors, the atmosphere is fantastic. I mean, we talked to Stam a couple of weeks ago, and he said, we're close in the wild card race, but this is what we all play for, is to play meaningful games in great environments, and this is going to be one this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. St. Louis, all the way from the people and the clubhouse staff, the way that they treat us here, to the fans that show up for the games, it's one of the best fan bases I've experienced in big league ball. Really educated fans that just truly love the game of baseball, and they'll support you, whether you're on the home side or the visiting side, if good plays are made and it's a smart, savvy baseball move. It's just a really cool environment to play in. So this is it. Everything that we've prepared for since February 1st is all coming down to these last 3 weeks here, and every game is is just as important as the next for us. You know, we got a really tough schedule the rest of the way out, and we got three games here with a chance to directly affect the standings in that wild card race. So, you know, it's a really big series.
Joe, on a not so serious note, do your ears always get that red as you get deeper into your starts?
Dude, my whole face gets red. My ears get super red. My eyes get bloodshot. You're seeing me in the dugout. I'm putting eye drops in and stuff. Like, I turn into like a different animal out there, man. And, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, though, because everyone always says that about him. Like, they've been sitting in the sun all day.
Dr. Joe and Mr. Hyde is our guest here on Fryer Friday. Joe, I got another kind of fun question. You know, you pitched a no-hitter, and when you did, everybody said, well, Joe Musgrove's the toast of the town, and they put your mural up at your old high school, and everybody said, well, he's never going to have to buy a drink or dinner again in this town. I'm curious, now that we're 3 or 4 months in, have you had to buy any drinks or dinner?
Very few, man.
Good.
Yeah, the city of San Diego's treating me very well since that.
Awesome.
Anytime I'm going somewhere, I'm kind of boring. I'll usually stick to like my local spots that I go to all the time, and I'm usually getting the same thing.
Yeah.
But I just really like the people that work at these certain places and the vibe and stuff. So one of my spots is Obi Noodle House down in Ocean Beach, and those guys take extremely good care of me, whether it's my girlfriend, my family, a buddy. I just reach out to him, and he sets the table up for him. He takes care of their meals. You know, a lot of people in the city have treated me really well, but those guys at Obi Noodle, they're some of the best.
All right, well, listen, rightfully so. You've been nominated for the Roberto Clemente Award. You've talked about how much that means to you. I mean, in general, you know, watching from the outside looking in, man, you have represented this city very, very well. And talk a little bit about how you've pitched here down the stretch. I think that has been the most impressive part. It seems like when the Padres have needed a stopper, and you've talked about this a lot at the beginning, you're wanting to be that guy, you've stepped into the fold and been that guy. What is that part meant to you?
Yeah, you know, just continuing to build belief in myself, and you know, everyone wants those opportunities to be in there, and you know, I talk about it all the time. The preparation and the work that you put in is all, you know, leading up to moments like that when, you know, the staff's a little banged up and we're on a skid and we need a win. Those are all the scenarios that I'm mentally preparing for, you know, throughout the year. And if you've been preparing for it, you know, tirelessly and not worrying about why it's not coming to you and why you're not getting the chance and, you know, why things might not fall in your lap on certain days, you know, that's all, you know, outside interferences and distractions rather than just preparing every day. And when that moment comes, you feel like it's, you know, where you're supposed to be and not something that, you know, might seem too big for you at the time being. But I don't know, man. I just feel like a lot of situations have kind of, like I said, fallen into my lap, and it's just happened to fall on the day that I'm thrown where we need a big start or we need, you know, a guy to go deep, and I've been able to do it. But, you know, it could be anybody on the team. It could have fallen in someone else's hands, and, you know, number of things could have happened. I just feel like a lot of it's just the mental approach and the preparation that I've been putting in, you know, being prepared for those moments when they come.
Joe Musgrove, our Fryer Friday guest. Last thing for me, Joe, and then we'll let you have at the Cardinals. You guys got the Giants again here next week, and that'll be your next start. And, of course, you just faced the Giants. When you're facing the same team back-to-back starts, does that change any of your preparation? Do you feel like you have to change things? Or do you try to just be the best Joe Musgrove and make the Giants worry about it?
Yeah, I think you try to be the best version of yourself. You know, if you go three innings and give up 8 runs and 3 homers against the team, and then you face 5 days later, it's a little bit different. You know, you got to reevaluate what your game plan was and, you know, figure out what went wrong. Was it execution or was it a poor game plan? The times that I got hurt in this last start, I felt like it was just poor execution. I feel like the game plan was really good. When I executed pitches, I saw the results we expected and that we, you know, that we were looking for. So you don't change too much. You know, to an extent, I always try to think along with the hitters a little bit. You can recognize the smart hitters in the league versus the guys that are stuck in one game plan and they aren't going to come off the fastball or they aren't going to come off the pitch that they're looking for until they get it. You know, and sometimes those guys are a little easier to pitch to, but this lineup's tough. I mean, they don't show you a whole lot. They, you know, they have real quiet takes. They don't really give away at bats. You know, they'll sit there and grind you out and foul balls off and just see pitches after pitch after pitch. So, you know, I'd like to get some quicker outs this next time around. So maybe looking through the lineup and finding out which guys we can, you know, attack more with, you know, with some fastballs or sinkers just to miss a barrel and try to get some quick outs. But I don't think I have to change a whole lot against them, and I'll have, you know, another start against them before the year's over. I think three of my last four are against them. So, you know, when you're having success, you can kind of just pound them and attack them until they show you that they've made the adjustment you need to change. So I still don't feel like the Giants have seen my best stuff. You know, every time I've faced them this year, I've been missing some of my better pitches and haven't had the consistency or the command. So it's going to be really important work a week of work here to get things dialed in so I can bring my best team for the last two.
Well, the Padres certainly hanging in this wild card race, and Joe, you're one of the big reasons why, and that's awesome, man. Did you have another question, Tony? I didn't want to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
I did have one quick question. This is another one outside of baseball. Joe, you do a good job of staying in shape. How do you do that with the way your sister and mom bake? I'm just curious to figure that out.
Did she bring you up some treats last time she was there?
She did. She brought him up your last two home starts. I've had to break the diet to get into those treats.
Yeah, that's my mom. That's my mom's problem. She got us on that, you know, at a young age. You don't ever show up anywhere empty-handed. So my sister's always bringing desserts. My mom will always bring a meal. But I think moving out of the house is probably the best decision for me. I mean, every night they're making something, you know, that I probably shouldn't be eating.
But
the guys in the clubhouse absolutely love it, man. Coaching staff, the clubhouse staff, you know, those things get crushed during the game, so they're very appreciative of it.
It's funny because Jesse happened to be doing TV your last start, so I had all of it to myself. I took it home, and my daughter got into it before I could even really enjoy it. So
they're big fans of
they're big fans of your mom and sister as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I'm sure there'll be a few more deliveries before the year ends.
Joe, hey, congratulations on a great season so far, and best of luck down the stretch. Padres are in this thing in a lot of ways because of what you've done, and we appreciate everything you've done for us in San Diego. Good luck down the stretch, man.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you talking.
Great having Joe Musgrove on, the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. You can save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Joe Musgrove, deserving of that Roberto Clemente Award nomination. Scraby, he's been a terrific pitcher and a terrific guy. Phenomenal. And
always been great to us.
Certainly a highlight of this year, not only that no-hitter, but for me personally, the fact that he came on the postgame show that night right after and did an interview with us. I felt a little bit like, you know, a little tiny part of Padres history that night, getting a chance to interview.
You're a big part of Padres history.
Nah.
The official postgame show host? Come on now.
from the only no-hitter in Padre history.
I'm putting that on my resume if I'm you.
Yeah, you almost got one, too.
I almost did.
That didn't turn out quite the way you were hoping. All right, let's see. We've got a couple of minutes left on the program before we get to the Padre pregame show. I did want to touch on the Aztecs real quick. They've got a big game tomorrow. I think big, playing Utah, team that was in the top 25. Hopefully some more folks will make the trip to Carson than did the first time around. Remember, it's a 4 o'clock game tomorrow, so certainly seems a little bit more worthwhile. You won't get home so late after the game. Hopefully that is what kept so many people away a couple of weeks ago against New Mexico State. But Aztecs 2-0, going to have to go with their backup quarterback, though, Scraby. And that's always a tough go. I will say this. Lucas Johnson played some pretty good football last year at quarterback for the Aztecs before Brookshire took over late in the year. So Lucas Johnson has been a starter before. He's won some games before. So that gives you a little bit more confidence than if it's just your backup and your backup's never played before. At least this guy started some games at Georgia Tech before he transferred and started some games for San Diego State. But it's not going to be easy against a very good Pac-12 team in Utah. That's tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Is there anything else worthwhile on the college football schedule tomorrow? I know Oregon's playing Stony Brook.
Yeah,
I don't want to miss that game.
We're going to make a bet on that.
Don't want to miss that game. Nebraska and Oklahoma are renewing one of the great rivalries in college football history. Unfortunately, Nebraska's not very good anymore. Oklahoma's ranked number 3, which might be a little high for a team that barely beat Tulane earlier this season. Are there any other matchups with ranked teams?
Hey, those Green Wave, they get feisty.
Green Wave get feisty, yeah. Alabama, I don't know, do they have a test? I mean, they're playing number 11 Florida on the road.
Kind of a test.
It sounds on paper like a test, but we'll see. Hopefully Alabama plays as bad as Nick Saban says they are.
Okay.
You know, we're the worst. Remember he said a couple of weeks ago, we're the worst team I've ever seen. We're this, yeah. We're that. Nick, I got to be honest with you, and this isn't just me speaking. Nobody's feeling sorry for you at Alabama.
Nobody.
Nobody's buying into the fact that you don't think you're very good. We'll find out just how good Alabama is tomorrow when they take on Florida. Let's see. There's one other ranked matchup tomorrow, or a couple more. Auburn against Penn State, Arizona State, BYU. So those are the college football games. Of course, Sunday, NFL football, week number 2. And let's see. We got some games on local TV. That's about the only thing I can tell you. Josh Jacobs, the Raiders, was ruled out of the game Sunday for Las Vegas. If you have him on your fantasy football roster, make the necessary adjustment. All right, Scrab, you about ready for some Daily Gambit stuff?
Sure, and we have some Daily Gambit to review, so let's get right into it.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
And last night's game, we bet on a couple days ago, the Thursday night football game.
Oh, yeah, how'd that turn out?
It didn't turn out well for us. Did not turn out well for us. Let me.
What are you talking about?
Well, the Giants were.
Oh, that one.
Yes, the Giants and the Washington football team.
Oh, we picked the Washington.
We gave
the points.
Yeah, and the final score was 30-29, so the Giants would win that bet, and we would lose that bet. Now, the over-under on that game was 40.5 points, and we both went under, and it went way over. It went 59 points.
Yeah. Yeah, we missed on that one pretty badly. We did win our college football bet last night.
Did you notice that? Yes, I forgot about that.
Louisiana was 21-point favorite over Ohio.
The Raging Cajuns?
We both took the Raging Cajuns. They won by 5 touchdowns.
Oh,
so
okay.
We won that one.
All right.
I'm trying to find a victory anywhere for us,
Scraby. Well, there's a victory. Antonio Gibson, or at least for me, Antonio Gibson, anytime TD in the game.
Yeah.
We said
disappointing
he had no
night
touchdowns.
For me. Disappointing night there.
You said yes, I said no. And then Daniel Jones, anytime touchdown. We said yes, he had 2 touchdowns.
Right.
So that's all right.
We did all right.
Yeah, we did all
we
right.
We got a couple of wins in there.
All right, before we make the bets for the weekend, we need to do this. Now, we're going to start with that Utah and San Diego State game. The line on the game, the spread, is actually much bigger than I would have thought it to be. But the San Diego State Aztecs are underdogs, and they are receiving 8 points from the line makers.
Yeah, that's a good bet to take the Aztecs, I would think. A couple of reasons. One, they're at home. Number two, since 2019, saw this tweeted out earlier this week, so if the Twitter person was wrong, then I'm wrong.
Okay.
But the tweet was that the Aztecs have allowed 14.5 points per game since 2019.
Okay.
That's the lowest number in all of Division I college football.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, teams score a lot of points. The Aztecs don't always give up a lot of points,
yeah.
So... to me, Brady Hoke's going to play it, you know, very carefully, running game, run the clock, not put his quarterback in harm's way, hope his defense can get the job done in the line of scrimmage against Utah. 8 points is a lot for a home team that has a good defense, so I'll take the Aztecs.
All right, you'll take the Aztecs. I will also take the Aztecs because I just don't see them losing by more than 8 points if they do lose, which is what we're making the bet. I'm not saying that they're going to lose, but I'm going to choose the Aztecs. Next bet we have, we were talking about it with our boss before he took off from the studio. Number 2 ranked team in the country, Georgia, at home to the South Carolina Gamecocks. And Georgia.
Boy, you got excited to say Gamecocks. Why did you get so excited to say that?
Because it's one of my favorite nicknames in sports.
All right.
Because it's very strange, but it's a bird, right?
Yeah, it's even worse when they call them by their nickname of their nickname.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man.
And they don't use the game part of the nickname when they... when they do that.
That's a quick way to get fired, I think.
I'm sure we can't say it.
No, but, we can't.
But all the fans in South Carolina go, go!
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Like, really? That's your chant?
Oh,
you got to be kidding me.
I'm such a child.
I am too.
All right, Georgia is favored by 31.5 points.
31.5?
This is an SEC matchup. Woo. I'm going to say that South Carolina covers because that's a lot of points for an SEC
game. I am too. I'll take South Carolina plus a 31.5. Georgia didn't even score a touchdown in its first game. I know it's against Clemson, but they only scored on defense and won the game thanks to their great defense, but 31.5 is too
many.
That's
a lot. That's
I'll take South Carolina.
You just talked about it. Alabama is heading to Florida to the swamp, and they're going to take.
Oh, well, I'm sure since they're so bad, they're probably a touchdown underdog.
Who, Alabama? No,
yeah.
They're actually favored by 14.5 points.
Yeah, I would think.
So what do you say, Chris?
I say Alabama's so bad, though, by easily more than 14.5 points.
Yeah.
I'll take Alabama.
Florida's just too up and down for me, so I will take Alabama as well.
Okay.
Nebraska, Oklahoma. Oklahoma's favored by 22.5 points.
Yeah, that's a shame.
It is. It is.
It's a shame that Nebraska's gotten so bad. Because this was when both these teams were in the Big 8, which was before the invention of the Big 12.
Yeah.
And the Nebraska-Oklahoma game every year was one of the biggest games of the year.
Yeah.
It was something special. It's not special anymore.
It's not. And I think, remember when I got fooled about the Nebraska uniforms that they were going to wear?
It was supposed to be for this game, wasn't it?
It was supposed to be for this game, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And good thing they're not wearing them.
Oh, I still want to see them wear those. Those
no,
things
thanks.
Were amazing. Those were amazing.
Who are you picking?
Uniforms. I'm going to go with Oklahoma on this
Give
one.
The 22?
Yeah.
Oklahoma is a team that loves to run it up, and they will definitely love to run it up against Nebraska. I'll take Oklahoma also.
All right. Scott Frost, you know, not doing so well after he left Central Florida there.
Not yet.
Not yet. He's still got a ways to go. The next game is the Oregon Ducks playing at home to Stony Brook, and they are favorites.
Gee, I hope this game's on my national TV package.
Get this. They're favored by 41.5 points.
That's all?
That's it. That's it.
Stony Brook, even a college team?
I'm sure they are.
I'll take Oregon.
you're okay. 41 points, though.
They almost scored that many against Ohio State. How many are they going to score
true.
Against Stony Brook?
All right, you just convinced me, Oregon.
Okay.
The next bet we're going to make is a Mountain West / Pac-12 bet. UCLA's been pretty surprising so far this year.
Very
the early
good.
Part of the year. They're the 13th ranked team in the country, and Fresno State will be visiting them tomorrow night. So you're up first in this one. The spread for UCLA, they are favored by 10.5 points.
I don't normally like to do this, but I am going to. Fresno State played Oregon at Oregon a couple of weeks ago and only lost by 7. Oregon is at least as good as UCLA, so if Fresno State can stay within 7 against them, I say they can do that against UCLA. I'll take Fresno State plus the 10.5.
Man, we're pretty alike on our picks because I was thinking the same thing. Fresno State is pretty much hung with any team that they've played this year.
Yeah, well, they played 2 games, so that's a trend.
Have they hung with
that
them?
That is
yes.
a trend, my friend. Yes.
All right. Now we are done with college football, and we move to the National Football League.
Okay.
And there's only really 3 bets we're going to make here on the National Football League because I'm not a big fan of the 3-point spreads and stuff like that. That's too much of a toss-up for me.
All right.
But the Texans are going to Cleveland to take on the Browns for their opening game, home opener, the Browns, that is. The Browns are favored by 13 points. So what do you think, Chris? Or I'll go first on this one. The Texans surprised me big time last week by beating the Jaguars like by 20-something points. But the Browns showed me that they are for real, and I'm going to take the Browns.
Brown should be ticked off that they let that game get away against Kansas City. They had that game. I'll take Cleveland as well.
Falcons are going to Tampa to take on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and the spread for that one is 12.5 points for the Bucs. Who are you going with, Chris?
Well, you got to believe the Bucs are going to win by 2 touchdowns, but I'll take Atlanta just because it seems like such a gimme to take Tampa Bay. There must be some reason that 12.5 points. That's a lot in an NFL game.
That is
game.
A lot. It is a lot.
In an NFL game, that's an awful lot. So I'll take Atlanta, which seems stupid, but I will.
I'm going to go with the Bucs. I feel like Tom Brady has never been more excited about his career. Even though he's been excited about plenty over his career, he is pumped up to be playing for Tampa. So I'm going to say Tampa. And then the final bet is the Titans are going to Seattle to play the Seahawks on Sunday at 1:25 p.m. Seahawks are favored by 6.5 points. Titans coming off that big loss to the Cardinals. And I will go with the – I'm going to say the Titans keep it close because they cannot lose two big games in a row, and I hate the Seahawks.
Well, you do hate the Seahawks, that's for sure. So anytime you bet on a Seahawk game, it's not real. I'll take the Titans as well. They were my upset pick in our pick'em game with Tony. I think the Titans have a chance to win this game outright. Always beware of a sick dog, as
yeah,
it were.
Yeah.
And that's the Titans. They looked really bad last week. And I have a feeling Mike Vrabel will have them back and ready to go. So I'll take the Titans plus the points in this game.
All right.
Do we have time to pick the 49er game and the Dolphin game?
Sure, let's do that.
I mean, come
let
on.
Me go grab it. Well, the spread's
what's matter
not
that
with
great.
You? What's the matter?
What does the spread being great have to do with it? Do you need the spread to be more than a certain amount of points before it's
great?
Yeah,
because it makes it more difficult for us.
It's difficult anyway. It's hard to do on a close game. It's hard to do on a big spread.
All right.
If it was easy to do, we would all just bet the tiny spreads and win millions of dollars.
Okay, the 49ers right now they're in Philadelphia to play the Eagles. They're favored by 3 points.
3 points?
Yeah.
They're at least 3 points better than the Eagles. I'll take the 49ers.
Oh, thank you. I can't bet against my team, so the 49ers.
You did last week.
I did, and
you took the Lions plus the 8 points,
yes.
And it ended up as a dead heat. But
it's okay with me.
Still was showing no faith.
I mean, we're betting. I'm not saying who's going to win outright.
Yeah, that still shows me nothing.
Shows you nothing.
Very little.
The Bills and the Dolphins. Bills are going down to South Florida.
Yeah.
And Will Fuller's not going to play for the Dolphins.
Oh, my goodness. That changes everything.
It does.
But
I'm going to go first here. Dolphins are underdogs, 3-point underdogs. Bills coming off that loss to the Steelers.
Right.
I saw a lot from the Dolphins last week. I'm going to pick the Dolphins.
Really?
I saw a lot from them last week.
I have a feeling a lot of people are going to pick the Bills in this game, assuming that the Bills are not going to fall to 0-2. Bills scored 87 points in two games against the Dolphins last year. Just absolutely trashed them.
Yeah,
but
one of 30. Those games was in the end of the year when they
yes,
Dolphins
and when the Dolphins had to win to make the playoffs, and they lost
oh,
by
that
30.
Scenario?
Yes, if they would have won that game, they would have gone into the playoffs. They lost by 30. but yeah, Miami is going to have to make up for that. So I got to go with them.
You got to go with the Fins.
I got to go with the Fish.
The Fish.
Yeah, you know, I never liked when people called them the Fish.
Well, aren't the Marlins called the Fish too?
Yeah, but I think a marlin is a fish. I don't think a dolphin is a fish.
A dolphin is a whale.
A mammal.
A mammal.
No.
A fish breathes water.
A fish breathes water? No, a mammal breathes water. Very good, Scraby.
No, a mammal breathes air. A fish breathes water.
Oh. Yeah, you fooled me on that one. It's the end of the week.
It is the end of the week.
It's the end of the week for all
it
of us.
It is the end of the week,
yeah.
So
right.
I still got to make a score prediction.
Yeah, what time, how much time do we have left on the show before you make your score prediction?
90 seconds.
Okay. Well, you're 0 for the season. It would really be good to hit one right now.
Because
these
you
games
think?
Really matter.
You think?
These games, all the other games are just practice.
This is for real. This is for keeps.
Vince Velasquez. You got Miles Michaelis. You got the Padres. You got the Cardinals. You got
it's
the
warm.
Wild card up for grabs.
It's warm in St. Louis today.
Ball will be flying.
I'm going to go Padres 9,
woo!
Cardinals 5.
All right.
9-5 Padres.
Padres are going to keep the offensive attack rolling along, according to Scraby, tonight.
That's correct.
We'll see if he's right.
I hope so.
He needs to be right.
Me too.
He's
got to
get
mm-hmm.
one before the season's over.
Or else I'll cry. I will literally cry in air.
I know you will. But you still got 2 weeks left. For Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby, who is coming up with a pregame show, stick around for that. I'm Chris Hello. Enjoy the baseball this weekend. Enjoy the football this weekend. We're back to wrap it all up Monday at 3 on 97.3 The Fan.
Woo-hoo!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.